It's good to see each of you here this morning, especially our visitors. We welcome you. I always look forward to an opportunity to preach to you from the Word of God. However, the occasion this morning we're regretful of, that Brother Joe was injured. I would encourage you to pray for his quick recovery. Our thoughts this morning are going to be somewhat a continuation of our adult Bible class, and the fact that we want to talk about what the Bible has to say about euphemisms and the use of the meaning of the word euphemisms is the use of a word or a phrase that is less expressive or direct, but is considered less distasteful or offensive than another word. We have, hopefully not we, but the world has all of these sayings that they say. I assume they say these words because they think they add to their conversation. But they're normally are offensive words, but they try to minimize that. Some of these words are like gee, or golly, or gosh, or heck, or darn. And all of these words are mild compared to their real meaning. There are some that I'm embarrassed to repeat, so I won't repeat them. We have on our TV programs and through our radio programs filled with such language, things that was unheard of 30 years ago. But this is what our society has become to be. As Christians, of course, I'm hoping that we don't participate in that. I haven't heard it here, and I'm thankful for that. But I have heard it from Christians. Matthew chapter 12 in verse 35 through 37 has somewhat to say about this. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So God will hold us accountable for the things that we have to say. And there's no value in excessive words. I've made this statement to you before. We use in our speech, as you study your Bible, notice the language that Christ used. He said so much with so few words. Christ doesn't have anything to say to us that's not direct to the point. It's useless to add all of these extra words to our language. Not only is it useless, but it's harmful. We'll have more to say about that a little later on. But let's look at Ephesians 5, verses 1 beginning. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let us not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon those of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. A couple of points. We see, of course, he mentions the fact of foolish talking or coarse jesting, which includes these words that we are talking about. He also gives us instructions as to use something useful, to be instructive, to be informative, rather than to be degrading. Christians should aim to have their conversations sensible, serious, sincere, edifying, instructive, and knowledgeable. Now, I know that as we converse with people, that these things are not foremost in our mind, but if we practice what we say, then they will become a routine for us. Profanity is not a sign of toughness, but rather a sign of weakness and stupidity. It is a sign of being uneducated and a lack of self-control. We form habits of speech just like other habits. Let our habits be good and not bad. As being in business for a number of years and being not a very good English, having a very good handle on the English language, I had a need to write letters from time to time. And thank goodness I had a good secretary. Because it would take about 4 or 5 drafts of that letter before I could passing it back and forth between us before I had it in a form that I wanted to send it out for somebody to read. That's what we do. As we talk and converse, think about what we say and about the words we use. And we won't have these unnecessary words in our language by habit. When I was a teenager, my mother and daddy one school year lived in Detroit. I didn't want to go to school in Detroit. So they made arrangements with one of my cousins that I would live with them that school year and go to school where I'd been used to going to school. Well, he and I were not the most kind of person we ought to have been. And we found ourselves using language that was not conducive to being a good person. We were not Christians, of course, but we realized that we were just being offensive with our language. So we made a pact with each other that we would remind each other every time we said a word that was not good. And through that process, we got rid of our bad language. And we didn't have to be reminded. It became a habit. So we can form good habits as well as we can form bad habits. Swearing is neither sensible or worthwhile. The person who swears lays aside their character and inflicts pain upon those close to them. Violates the scriptures and loses one's soul. And we'll see that more as we go along. James 3, beginning with verse 5. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can tame, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, by my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So, we're an intelligent people. We have tamed animals of all kinds. I went into the cleaners yesterday to pick up my cleaning, and there was a gentleman sitting there on the bench with a Wormerheimer dog. If you don't know what a Wormerheimer is, it's a beautiful, I don't know how to describe, almost pink in color. But he was sitting there very calmly, and I commented on his dog, and he said, yeah, he says, it's my son's dog. He says, and he's well trained. He says, he'll sit right here till I tell him to move. So we do train animals to do what we want them to do. I was raised up on the farm down in the lower part of Coleman County, and we used, at that time, animals for plowing and cultivating our crops. There were tractors coming on the scene at that time, but very few, none in our part of the woods. But we had animals that we trained to work. And so we do all of these things, but yet we have difficulty with managing our own selves, managing our tongue, keeping ourselves in line with what God's Word teaches us to be. So let's pay attention to what we say and how we act, and be an image of what a Christian ought to be. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his words are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So the Christian is the salt of the world. The world continues to exist because there's Christians who are willing to stand up for God's Word. When that ceases to be, then so will the world cease to be. Charles and Joe frightened us a little bit the other day by talking about the end of time. And that we don't have to worry about as long as we promote the Word of God and teach His Word and try to get people to understand what society should be. There's more that we could say, but Steve didn't give me time to put it together. I pulled into my carport last night at 9:30 and my phone was ringing, and I looked and it had Steve's name there because I've got him in my database. And I thought, what is he calling me this time of the night for? And I found out quickly as I answered the phone, but I'm glad he called me. I'm always happy to do what I can do. But I want to leave these words of wisdom with you that the Bible teaches us to do. And there may be those in our audience who are not Christians. And we'd like to encourage you to be Christians. We pray that there are those that we have contact with from day to day who will understand and who will be obedient to the Word of God. Brother Joe, not being here is not a hindrance to you obeying the gospel. We are very equipped to baptize you into Jesus Christ. And we would encourage you to do so. We ask you if you have a need to be baptized into Christ, that you come sit down on the first pew down here, and we will take your hand and guide you through the process of your being baptized. We ask you to do that now while we stand and sing.